Welcome to the Far and Beyond podcast, hosted by the Contracts and Fiscal Law Department at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School, the podcast where we navigate the ever-shifting landscape of federal procurement and fiscal law. I'm Major Ellie Sewell.
And I'm Lieutenant Colonel Alana Hines.
Together, we are your co-hosts, and today we are looking at one of the oldest pillars of federal acquisition law, sealed bidding. We think of the FAR as this modern administrative behemoth, but the DNA of sealed bidding goes back to the very start of the United States.
And it really goes back even further. Before the Constitution was even a year old, the Continental Congress was struggling with procurement. During the Revolution, they used a commissariat system where government officials acted as their own contractors, which was, to put it mildly, a disaster of inefficiency and fraud.
You don't say. So enter Robert Morris, the Patriot financier. In 1781, as superintendent of finance, he realized that experience has sooner or later pointed out contracts with private men as the cheapest, most certain, and consequently, the best method, a concept we've kind of kept.
Right. Yeah, Morris introduced the core of what we now call sealed bidding, advertisements inviting sealed proposals to be opened on a specific date. He believed the prospect of competition would keep prices low and quality high. Again, just as you said, something that continues to be sort of the foundation of our system.
It didn't take long for Congress to turn that preference into statute. The Act of February 20th, 1792 established it for the post office, requiring public notice in newspapers for 6 weeks prior to execution. Then came the landmark Act of March 3, 1809, the first government-wide procurement statute that required all purchases be made by open purchase or advertising for proposals.
And by 1860, on the eve of the Civil War, Section 3709 of the revised statutes made advertising the absolute rule, with only narrow exceptions for personal services or immediate public exigencies. That 1860 statute essentially regulated military contracts all the way until World War II.
So it's a philosophy that has held steady. While no one has a right to a government contract, everyone has a right to compete for one.
So for the junior associates listening, how does the modern iteration work under the FAR?
So the basic elements are very simple but rigid. It's a method that employs competitive bids, a public opening, and an award to the responsible bidder with the lowest responsive bid.
Rigid seems to be the key word there.
Yeah.
Unlike negotiated procurement under Part 15, in sealed bidding there are no discussions, and the bid has to be responsive, meaning it must comply in all material respects with the invitation for bids, or you'll see that referred to as IFB, the moment it's opened.
Exactly. So the contracting officer must award to the responsible bidder whose bid is the most advantageous to the government, considering only price and price-related factors. That usually means the lowest bidder.
And we also have a hybrid two-step sealed bidding. That's for when specifications aren't quite definite. Step one is a technical proposal with no pricing, and then step two is a standard sealed bid limited to those who pass step one.
And it's a question I've received before and something I actually struggled with too when I was younger, when I first entered, started doing contracts, was what's the difference between sealed bidding and LPTAs? And the big thing is discussions. With sealed bidding, there are no discussions. You accept the bids, you open them, you take the lowest price. With LPTAs, you have that ability to have a negotiation. That's really, if the KO can say they need to reserve that right for a negotiation, or they want to have the negotiations, that's when you've left sealed bidding behind and you've gone into FAR Part 15 and you can do an LPTA. So really, you have to opt out of sealed bidding, but you actually have to opt in to LPTA with all the factors.
Yeah, no. And I mean, I think that what we know with the FAR is that really we do want to maintain flexibility and discretion mm-hmm. for contracting officers to venture into the areas and the FAR parts that are most appropriate to whatever the particular acquisition is.
Yes. And so now we see sealed bidding mostly in construction, I would say. Usually anything else is going to fall under FAR Part 12 or 15. Okay. So that's going to bring us to the bigger news, the revolutionary FAR overhaul. FAR Part 14 has been simplified to be more accessible, moving away from that rigid checklist to a structure that follows the acquisition lifestyle.
So let's talk structure first then. The subparts have been consolidated into four clean buckets. So you have subpart 14.1 for general, 14.2 for pre-solicitation, 14.3 for evaluation and award, and 14.4 for post-award.
So one of the big changes was creating the dedicated post-award subpart. It clearly separates pre-award issues from contract administration. For instance, mistakes after award, previously tucked away at 14.407-4, is now predominantly at 14.401.
And there's also a brand new section, 14.402, for pricing modifications. It provides a direct cross-reference to Part 15, which is where we should have been looking for cost and price negotiation guidance for modifications all along.
Now, what about the FAR Companion? This is a new non-regulatory resource where several best practice sections have been moved to keep the FAR itself lean.
Yeah, exactly. So we have seen that shift to try to clean up the language in the FAR, but while retaining guidance for contracting professionals, and that guidance has now shifted over to the FAR Companion. So if you're looking for specifics on bidding time, pre-bid conferences, or price-related factors, you'll now find those in the FAR Companion rather than the regulation itself. And the same goes for procedures for canceling an invitation before opening and handling a limited number of bids.
And there's a fair amount of house cleaning in this update. What was deleted?
Well, mostly things that were redundant or outdated. So bid envelopes, which was 14.202-3, and facsimile bids, 14.202-7, are gone to reflect the shift towards electronic commerce.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then release of acquisition information, 14.211, and protests against award, 14.408-8, were also removed because they're already adequately covered in FAR Parts 5 and 33, respectively.
The RFO also merged two-step sealed bidding, formerly subpart 14.5, directly into subpart 14.2 as well.
And it's a shift towards that plain language that you mentioned and modernization. But the core statutory requirements like full and open competition and the requirement for certified cost or pricing data for certain modifications do remain firmly in place.
So the ghost of Robert Morris is still with us. He just has a better organized rulebook now.
Exactly. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining me. All right. So thank you for joining us today in this episode of Far and Beyond. Please make sure to follow us and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. The views expressed today are those of the presenters, not that of the Judge Advocate General's Corps, the Department of the Army, the Department of the Air Force, or the Department of War.